Let me remind you, please, that this hour of Hometown Radio is brought to you by the Dental Office of Dr. Carrie Ramirez. With years of expertise in general implant and cosmetic dentistry, Dr. Ramirez will give you the healthy mouth you deserve. Call our office tomorrow at 805-549-8483. Check out slowcoastdentist.com. Save yourself a couple bucks. Ask for the Dave Congleton New Patient Special. Go for it. Dr. Carrie Ramirez. She's my dentist. She should be yours. It's time for the 6 o'clock hour. It's Thursday, July 8th, 2021. We need to talk about this. We have talked about it a lot the last couple months. Tommy Gong, our former county clerk recorder, he was out of here July 1st. We wish him well. He went up to Contra Costa County. He went from being number one down here to being the second in command up there. I don't want to talk so much about Tommy Gong as I want to talk about the media coverage of all this. Whether it was Rachel Maddow or the Washington Post or the Los Angeles Times or even closer to home, the Tribune. And their infamous editorial from early June. I think that there was a narrative that was spun by local and national media that turned out to have a lot of large holes in it. When that happens, are there consequences? Why am I talking? We got a great guest, Matt Hoy, back on this broadcast. Mr. Hoy, good afternoon.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for coming in.
Your co guy over there, that Craig Hill guy, said something about chili casseroles at 100 degrees or something earlier.
Yeah.
Stop it. No. Bad.
I'm trying to help. I'm trying to plant the seed in your idea that it's cool.
He came down here because
you're trying to paint an alternate reality.
Yeah, but I also mentioned that's why I live in Los Osos when I mentioned it's 63 degrees right now.
Is that what happened here? As a segue, an alternate reality was created.
All around. Let me start off by saying that Trump lost California by 5 million votes. There's not going to be shenanigans with the vote count in California. If you're worried about these, you know, Dominion voting machines, you know, being rigged, they'd never do it in California because they could point to California and say, see, there's no problem with them because, you know, you can audit them till the cows come home. Trump was not winning California. He was not making it competitive. The idea that somehow Tommy Gong was fudging the numbers is insane and stupid.
The liberal narrative, and I'm a left of center independent. I'm not trying to sound like these new guys we got here. But the genesis of this is that there was the county supervisor meeting on May 4th, and there were more than 100 people who made public comment, zooming in, and apparently at least some of them were from outside the area. And there was one unfortunate comment where a woman asked whether or not Tommy Gong was a member of the Chinese Communist Party. That's the quote that the media seized on, in my opinion.
Yeah, because that's easy to tar, you know, your political opponents with that. Both sides would do that. Right. I mean, Tom Folks, that's what he does all the time. He'll find one idiot who makes a comment,
And he wrote about this.
Yeah, it's that's standard politics. Is it fair? Is it accurate? No. Is that going to change? You know, I'd like the press to do better. But for political partisans, you know, that's the way the game's played.
Well, then what about the Tribune? On June 7th, they ran an editorial. Partisans and conspiracy theories, conspiracy theorists ran Tommy Gong out of town. That's a disgrace. They specifically cite the Communist Party, quote,
right,
as proof that Tommy Gong left town because of this. When Mike Brown from CoLab and now Veely is reporting at Cal Coast News that the job that Tommy Gong applied for closed in early April, like the first week of April.
Right. You had to have already applied for it, right, and they started considering applicants the first week of April.
And Vili claims that he had been offered the job pending a background review in April.
Yeah, so that headline, that editorial is, we can look at it now, it is false. You asked me earlier before we went on the air if you know, you can't remember newspapers ever correcting editorials.
Yeah. The
New York Times in 1969 corrected an editorial that ran in like the 1910s about rocketry not being able to work in a vacuum. They had said, "Oh, this, you know, going into outer space, it won't work because, you know, physics in a vacuum." And in 1969, right before we landed on the moon, they corrected a 50-year-old editorial.
Man.
So they've done it. You know, I mean, yeah. it's
but typically they don't. Yeah.
They should.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it should be like anything else.
In this case, what should the Tribune do, given that they ran an editorial that, with respect to them, it's kind of based on a false premise?
Well, as far as I can tell, they haven't touched this, you know, these new developments with the fact that he was already basically all but out the door before this.
Reporting on it at all.
No reporting on it at all. That's the first thing they need to do. They need to do the reporting. The second thing they need to do is they need to, I would prefer that they would come clean and say, you know, you can write that this is a not a healthy environment. You can decry these kind of crazy conspiracy theories, but that's not why Tommy Gong is gone. You know, one of the things they wrote was in that same editorial was, is it any wonder Tommy Gong and election officials in many other parts of the country are leaving their high-stress posts? Well, he left to take the number two job in the same area in Contra Costa County. I mean, that's not evidence of leaving because of stress.
What about Rachel Maddow, who spent 20 minutes at the top of her show?
Yeah.
This was the main story, and she kept coming back to the Chinese communist quote.
Yeah, Rachel Maddow, she's a...
on MSNBC, for the unfamiliar.
She's an MSNBC host. She is a...
Rhodes Scholar.
Rhodes Scholar.
No dummy. No dummy.
That doesn't prove that you're really smart. I don't know.
I think she's smart.
Well, then she's dishonest. you know, the one thing I'll point out about Rachel, you know, again, it's a narrative. And the narrative is that Republicans, you know, Trump, obviously, is true. But, you know, Republicans and right-wingers all think that this election was stolen. And they are going after, you know, anyone they can to try and get Trump back in office. And he'll retake office sometime in August, apparently. He'll be reinstated by the Supreme Court.
Counting the days.
Yeah. Not going to happen. But they've got this narrative. And so anything that, falls too good to check, right? Which shouldn't be something that news, you know, that any journalist does. Interestingly enough, you know, Rachel Maddow had been sued by One American News Network for claiming they were paid Russian propaganda. She got that suit dismissed, and the judge says in that Maddow's show is different from typical news segments. The point of her show is for her to provide the news, but also offer her opinions.
Yeah, it's an opinion show.
Therefore, the court finds the medium of the alleged defamatory statement makes it more likely that a reasonable viewer would not conclude that the contested statement implies an assertion of objective fact.
Yes, but on the Rachel Maddow show, she interviewed Lindsay Holden, who's a sharp reporter, I think, at the Tribune. And Lindsay pretty much bought into this narrative. Oh, yeah, I think the prejudice had something to do with Tommy leaving.
Yeah. It's in the milieu that is present in too many newsrooms nowadays. I fully believe that, and there's not a Tribune newsroom anymore. I assume that they have regular kind of Zoom staff meetings and whatnot, but there's no room where they gather anymore. But, you know, I worked in newsrooms for 15 years, and you know kind of what's going on. You know what people are thinking, what people are feeling, what they're talking about around the proverbial water cooler. you know, I don't think there's anybody at the Tribune that is on the other side of the political aisle. And I think that's the case at a great many news outlets in this country.
So they all bought into this narrative that these comments were made at the May 4th meeting, Tommy Gong, I'm out of here.
Left because of them.
Right.
Because of one person's comments.
When actually the alternative scenario is that Tommy Gong, according to Veeley's reporting, Tommy Gong applied for this job in secret, took the job in secret, and only when he was confronted by Wade Horton, the county CEO, are you leaving for another job, that Tommy Gong fessed up and issued the press release that he's leaving. Otherwise, he was gonna leave without telling anybody.
Well, I mean, he's got to resign. I mean, that's an elected position. He's got to tell somebody. He's got to formally resign. He can't just kind of disappear.
But he wasn't going to say anything until that moment.
Right. No, it's... He let this play out, too. I don't think he's completely blameless in this whole thing. He could have made it clear. In fact, you know, you go and you read the KSBY report on this. You know, he's quoted as saying, when I moved to Slo County, I realized that I would be moving quite a distance from my family, but my focus was on raising our young family. But now they are grown up. My focus has shifted to my elderly parents. And so, you know, and he follows up with, we are at full capacity staff-wise, and I know I'm leaving the office in great hands with equally committed and dedicated staff through the transition. You know, that's the KSBY report. That doesn't, you know, it mentions this other stuff, but he's not, didn't seem like he was embracing that case. He was allowing people to make that argument that it was racism on his behalf. And
he didn't deny it, but
he had no, and frankly, probably helps him a little bit as far as his prestige goes by not denying it.
All right. We're in conversation with Matt Hoy. Not so much about Tommy Gong, but our media coverage of what has happened the last couple months here on the Central Coast. And we have been the subject of conversation in the national media, the state media in terms of the LA Times, and the local media as well. So does the fact that Tommy Gong already had the job well before the May 4th meeting change the narrative? And if we accept that, does the local media have an obligation here? That's what we're talking about. Well, pick up the conversation, invite your phone calls still to come on AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. We're talking about media narratives. Conservatives do it. Liberals do it. In this case, it involved... here, San Luis Obispo County, and how we were portrayed in the state media in terms of the LA Times, in terms of the national media, big article in the Washington Post, discussion on the Rachel Maddow show. We were her top story one night. But we're talking about the Tommy Gong case, and if you're just joining us, what appears to have happened is that Tommy Gong applied to be the number two person at Contra Costa County, and the deadline for application was early April. He was offered the job pending background review. So he had the job May 4th during the controversial county supervisor meeting. So he didn't leave because one person out of 150 alluded to the fact that he might be a member of the Chinese Communist Party, which became the narrative on the Rachel Maddow show. It was totally different. So that's what we're talking about. If you want in on the conversation, join us. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. And it appears, Matt, you're not expecting the Tribune or Rachel Maddow or the LA Times to issue a correction or...
TV shows never issue corrections. Never. You're never going to see that. I've... seen mistakes years after years after year. They're not going to re-air it on air. They're not going to put it on their website. That's just not something TV does. I expect better in newspapers. I worked in newspapers, so I've, you know, kind of have a little print bias there. I would hope that the Tribune would update their reporting first, and that they would run a short note or correction on the editorial page, pointing out the timeline and the fact that he was not run out because of those comments, that he was planning on leaving already.
All right. I'm told we have 4th District County Supervisor Lynn Compton on the air. Supervisor, good evening.
Hi, Dave. So I'm at a little disadvantage here because someone called me and said, turn on Dave Congleton. So I just turned it on. I have not heard your conversation.
Not touching that one.
I'm sitting in my car, pulled over, and if you have some questions, I'm willing to answer them hypothesizing over what happened.
Supervisor, what we're talking about is the fact that, according to Veeley's reporting and statements made by Mike Brown, Tommy Gong was offered the job up in Contra Costa well before the May 4th meeting. And so his decision to leave had nothing to do with the Chinese communist comment in public comment, and how the Tribune and Rachel Maddow have pushed this narrative that has turned out not to be true.
That is correct.
Comment, please.
I became aware that Tommy Gong had interviewed for a position outside of our county because a person that was called as a reference for him called me and told me and said, you need to know this. So researched it, and the position was in fact open, and he had applied well before the, I think it was May 5th meeting that occurred. You know, that's not something you go out and tell people when someone say that. And I want to make another comment about some of the misinformation that's out there. There's been all kinds of comments that these were out of county callers, etc. You know, when we have open public comment, you never know what you're going to get. We can get comments related to something completely off the radar that we're not even discussing on the board, et cetera. And we don't limit those people's comments. We don't say you can't speak about something, you can speak about something. It's called open public comment for items either on or off the agenda. And people can speak about whatever they want for 3 minutes. I've never cut somebody off for that. Additionally, there were comments made that this was all out-of-county callers. It was not. We log who all the callers in. I take notes during the meeting on who calls in, and the majority of the callers were within our county. If you look at, for example, the Railspur hearings, which we all lived through, we had 2 or 3 days of public comments. 90% of those comments were from outside of our county. So it really doesn't matter if they're from within our county or outside of our county. In this instance, they were mostly citizens from within our county. Additionally, there has been discussion in our county about going to a model like some counties do, including the county that Tommy Gong is going to, where that position goes from being an elected position to an appointed position. Personally, I'm not crazy about that. I like it being an elected position, but I know that was discussed with Mr. Gong. So for whatever reason, I don't know what's in his mind. He made the decision to leave, and the board meeting happened. And by the way, the comment that was made was a recorded comment. And I'm not privy to comments before they come in, whether they're, you know, what people say or anything like that. If there's a live comment that comes in and people are sitting in front of us, you can say, you know, look, be polite or something like that. But we were in COVID and it was a recorded comment. So those are a few misconceptions about what happened.
All right, Supervisor, I have got the news break. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it very much. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. More calls to come after the break. Stay with us. Do me a favor, start your Friday morning off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have recovered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9, followed by our new show, Markley Van Camp and Robbins, from 9 until noon. And then we have the Ramsey Show from noon until 3. Craig has tomorrow off, but Jim Richards will join me at 3:05 for the Friday edition of Hometown Radio, including Raspberry Meringue Pie. Yum. Thanks to Supervisor Compton for checking in. We are in conversation with regular contributor Matt Hoy. Don't want to talk so much about Tommy Gong as to the media coverage of Tommy Gong's decision to leave as our county clerk recorder and take the job up in the Bay Area. For the last 2 months, we have heard this narrative from MSNBC and the Washington Post and the Tribune, and Supervisor Gibson that basically suggested that as a result of this May 4th meeting, there was clear bias against Tommy Gong, and we drove him out of town. That was the basis, what, June 7th, Matt, of the Tribune editorial? We drove him out of town. When it turns out that Tommy Gong, without telling anybody, applied for the job in March, deadline for the job was early April, he had the job May 4th. So the media had it wrong. Now the question is, do they have any obligation when they get it wrong? 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Mark's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Very appropriate show. Dave, I don't think the left or the right, we have any media left. I mean, you look at CNN, what the Cuomo brothers managed to pull off, and he's still employed. I mean, under normal circumstances, they would bounce somebody like that. But as far as the left is going to be, this prejudice, racial prejudice, is going to be their new thing all the way through the election. You haven't even heard the beginning of it. If you don't vote for global warming, you're a racist. It's all going to be racist moving on. And I think this is just the very beginning of what's going to be very hot all the way through the next elections coming up for Congress and the presidential election, especially if they put Harris in there, and anything against her is going to be racist, misogynistic, or sexist, and this will be the new. And I'm just sick of the right also and their stuff. But
hang on, Mark, you're putting a lot out there, Matt.
He's not wrong as far as that goes. I mean, I think that's definitely been the playbook. I mean, you've seen that for you know weeks. You know, when the Georgia redid their voting laws. How those were portrayed, and it wasn't until you got some sensible coverage from places like Georgia Public Radio like 2 weeks later that, you know, this wasn't racist, that it wasn't designed to disenfranchise blacks and other minorities. They'd had some problems, and, you know, Stacey Abrams had been complaining 2 years earlier about, you know, voter fraud and whatnot and people being denied the right to vote. There, and it was a reaction to 2018 and 2020 and the perceptions by people that, you know, there were holes in the voting laws there, and it was turned into racism. They didn't, you know, look deeper. They didn't see what was being done, and they didn't see how that compared with other states like, you know, Delaware or New York.
Yeah, Mark, what else from you, please?
Well, I'll just say our great uniter president called it Jim Crow, and when he gave his spill on it, the Washington Post gave him four Pinocchios. So, yeah, I think it's very appropriate. But I don't know how, Dave, we're going to sort through this reality.
But, Mark, what about the Tommy Gong media coverage? That's what we're talking about.
Horrible. Well, we knew it was. And I'll say one other thing, and this it does have to do when Bill Ostrander came up, and you know, he talked about his, you know, the wife having the problems and pretending like, well, that wasn't it. Well, it sounded to me like a serious gambling addiction was involved there. And if you've ever had an addiction issue in a family member or a friend, that can take out an entire family. So to make those assumptions and to reach into their family and say, no, that wasn't it, we don't know what was it. You know what I mean, Dave? You've been around the block a few times, and the reality is we don't know all the motivations behind it.
But the media thought that they knew, Matt. That's the point.
And barring like solid evidence, I have a tendency to take people at their word. And the kids are growing up. His elderly parents, you know, need help, and they live up there. Which I completely understand. You know, one of the reasons that my wife and I are moving to the Valley is her father's there alone, basically, and her brother is in Idaho, and he's going to need help in the coming years. So that's it makes sense.
All right, Mark, thank you. Let's hear from Garth on KVEC. Hi, Garth.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hi, Garth.
How's it going?
Good.
You know, generally, I don't defend the media. Especially, you know, corporate media, but I'm not sure what the concern is here with the reporting on Gong. You know, he had been faced for a long time with a campaign to discredit you know, him and his election staff. And, you know, you had Lynn Compton on just a while ago, and neither of you called her on the fact that she didn't call out, you know, this caller that accused, you know, Gong of being in the Communist Party. So I'm wondering, you had the opportunity there. Why didn't you ask her about that?
Because I only had 2 minutes, and I was giving her a chance to be heard, because that's mm-hmm. what I do.
Well, that's the issue with the media I have. In, you know, you had a perfectly good chance to actually talk to her about something of substance there, and you guys both dropped the ball.
But no, I already know the answer to that question, and I could have asked her, and I know what she would have told me, because it's what supervisors do. You're not allowed to call out people for public comment. People have the right to make a public comment, and you cannot cut them off.
No, I'm not. I wasn't asking for the person to be cut off, but council members can have a response to that. You know?
Craig has a different answer.
Yeah, if you go back, you'll hear that she did say the reason that she did not respond is because it was a pre-recorded message.
Okay, so she didn't respond at the time, but she's had plenty of time to respond afterwards, and there's been, you know, there was no response to that. She didn't defend Gong.
So you know that she's never said, hey, that's a bad thing, or that's wrong?
What's the question?
I mean, you're assuming that she never repudiated that comment.
Yeah. But so, right. So, Garth, you defend the media coverage. Let's get back on the topic, please. You mm-hmm. defend the media coverage, the Tribune editorial, what Rachel Maddow said, all that is spot on as far as you're concerned?
Well, so you're saying the media shouldn't jump on the racist aspect to this. I mean, that's news. That's what the media does.
I don't
defend that, but, you know, the media's purpose is to get viewership
Garth, what we're saying is that Tommy Gong didn't leave because of what happened on May 4th. He had the job on April 4th, and the media is not reporting that.
Well, he left not necessarily. I mean, that was probably the final nail in the coffin, but...
He already had the job! Matt, jump in.
He'd already accepted the job.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah,
he just hadn't announced it.
That was April.
You think?
Right?
You think he was? You think May 4th, the May 4th thing happened? And he says, "You know what? I'm going to stand here and take this abuse, and because I've already got a better paying job closer to my family lined up." But just because? No, he was gone anyways.
No, he was gone.
Right. But his decision was made
months
by the culmination of a campaign to discredit him for months and months.
That's a separate issue. That's separate.
Well, no, it's not. It's not a separate issue.
Yes, it is a separate issue.
It's because, part of the issue, because, and there were racist comments before that. You know, he's faced that for months.
I'm not aware of that.
I haven't seen any.
All right. Garth, thanks for expressing your opinion. Let's get to Michael on KVEC. Hey, Michael.
Hey, since Lindsey Holden's name was mentioned, I have to step in here because I have a little history with old Lindsey. In my opinion, as a partisan hack who doesn't really spend the time to do her homework and only gives half the story, even if she does her homework, anybody who would listen to her, even read her dribble and believe what she says, needs to check it. Well, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, don't
okay, and you can take it for whatever it's worth. But the bottom line is, Mr. Gong, Dave?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay, Mr. Gong, I don't think was competent. I think he was incompetent, not because he was Chinese. Whoever made that statement in that public meeting ought to be ashamed of themselves, because it was wrong for them to say that without evidence and without any corroborating evidence. I think that was a low blow, and I think it was ridiculous. It was absurd, but it was one person. There were hundreds of people who spoke on that issue. But as far as Tommy Gong is concerned, I say I hope he's very successful where he goes. But he wasn't a good fit here in San Luis County. Election integrity is an important thing, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. You got to make sure that the elections are as pristine as possible. And he wasn't answering questions that were given to him in a forthright fashion.
I know, but we're talking about the media coverage of the case. Thank you for the call, Michael. Any comment?
Yeah, I don't. There's Donald Trump did not win San Luis Obispo County. There was not a prayer of him winning San Luis Obispo County. There's no reason to really doubt the results because, frankly, they make sense for this area. You know, and no one's going to be playing with the voting machines in California during a presidential election. Unless you're trying to game it for the Republicans. If Donald Trump had won California, you got a case. Let's look at the voting machines because I think that's insane. But this is an expected result within the tolerances that you would expect. And I don't see why we would think that there'd be some shenanigans going on.
We'll be back for a final segment with Matt Hoy. We're live. We're local. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. Is your wife's name Kathy?
No.
On the Stolberg line, Kathy writes, Matt Hoy, best guest ever. Well, if he wasn't a good guest.
You're just assuming that my wife wouldn't be smart enough to use a different name.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just... If you want in on this conversation, I think this is a very important topic. I'm glad Matt's here. I'm glad you're here. So we're talking about this. Well, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. This is not about Tommy Gong. This is not about election fraud. This is about media. And MSNBC and the LA Times and our own Tribune all were pushing this narrative that Tommy Gong was run out of town as county clerk recorder because he was Asian American. And now we're finding out from a variety of sources that actually Tommy Gong applied for a job up north, had the job in April before this big May 4th meeting. And yet the Tribune on June 7th ran that editorial bemoaning the fact that we chased this man out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any accountability for media when they are wrong? I guess there's no other way to phrase it, Matt.
The accountability usually comes with, you know, cancel my subscription. Now that's, I mean, I don't necessarily encourage that because I think that they do a service. But at the same time, you know, write letters to the editor, call them up, complain. We do things like this to try and hold them accountable as well. I would hope that, you know, as I said, it's a couple of days late, better late than never. They run an article fixing the timeline and a short note on the editorial page pointing out that these new developments, you know, kind of cast a different light on Tommy Gong's exit and what led up to it.
Somehow I'm being accused of being late to the game. No, I'm not late to the game. Mike Brown was on the show last week, and he's the first one who told me about the Gong application. And then Veeley ran the story at Kelco's News.
Right.
And one of the things I want to take away from all this, Matt, is the idea that, and I've said this before, you've got to be a consumer of multiple media because that's the only way you're going to get the truth.
Right. You need to weigh, you know, sources against one another. I can remember reading a book by Brent Bozell, who runs the Media Research Center, which is a right-wing kind of media watchdog group. And he wrote a book 15, 20 years ago, maybe, called Weapons of Mass Distortion, and about, you know, media bias. And at the end, he said, you know, if newspapers and the big networks and whatnot want to continue to have the trust of half the country, they're going to need to listen to and hire people from conservative backgrounds with conservative views. That hasn't happened. He was wrong. What's happened is the media is further fragmented. And you don't have really a mainstream media. You've got right-wing and left-wing media, and you kind of have to listen to both of them if you want an accurate view of reality.
Let me let Craig jump in here. Craig, you've been listening to all this.
Yeah, to me, it comes down to the media made assumptions, national and local, but the national started because of the local. They made assumptions based on a popular narrative and couldn't be bothered to do their homework. You know, that is the quintessential fake news. They make a claim that makes national news, national headlines. Then when it turns out not to be true, they just slink away.
It's too good to check.
Personally, I think the Tribune should stand up, apologize, admit, hey, this story is wrong, and promise to do better. Without that, they are losing the trust and the not just the face, but the trust of the community. If they write stories that turn out to be true and do not cop to it and do not promise to try harder.
Talk about that, Matt.
Again, it's credibility. It's you have credibility as an institution. You have credibility as an individual. If you want to, send it down the drain or flush it down the toilet over this sort of thing, you kind of deserve the opprobrium that you you've offered. He's right. They should fix it. I don't expect TV to fix it. TV never does. I hope the Tribune does. If they don't, they're hurting themselves.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. But the damage has been done. This is the narrative that most people are going to continue to believe, because there was all the media coverage in May. It's like, oh, we ran this guy out of town, and it was racism. And even if the Tribune or Rachel Maddow were to come up with a disclaimer or updated report, I don't think that would change anything.
It wouldn't change greater public perception, no. It's what Mark Twain's old thing about a lie gets around the world before the truth gets its pants on or something like that. That happens daily in the news media, both left and right. Twitter, is the best thing in the world and the worst thing in the world. It's the best thing because you can see, because reporters show who they really are. It's the worst thing because a lot of people are bad people. They're not pleasant.
Yeah.
You were saying the Tribune needs to correct. They need to do more than that, because putting a story on page six saying, oh, by the way, further information has come up that maybe that wasn't right. No, I want a headline saying.
I said they need to run a regular story up with the new information.
I want a headline.
And they need.
They need to.
We were wrong.
It should be on the same page the original
You're
was on.
You're accusing a community of racism and driving a man out of town.
They didn't accuse a community.
They made that accusation that this community was so racist that it drove Tommy Gong out of this town. And when you accuse a community, you need to apologize to a community, not just run an updated story.
I don't think they're accusing a community.
I think Craig's being a little hyperbolic.
Yeah.
On one hand, but on the other hand, that is kind of what happens. That's the perception that's out there, is that everyone is tarred with that.
Well, yeah, but here's on the Stolberg line, what a horrible way to treat Tommy Gong. How embarrassing for Slo County.
I don't know, how do we treat him? He got a better paying job closer to family. Where he doesn't have to run for re-election. And he's not responsible for everything, and
he doesn't have the responsibility.
He doesn't have the ultimate responsibility.
He's back to being the second in command.
Yeah.
Hmm. And the other thing to point out in our last few minutes here, Matt, is that there are these media narratives all over the country.
Oh yeah,
right, on any number of different issues.
Oh, you look at the lab leak hypothesis with COVID, where that couldn't have happened. There's no way that happened, and now maybe it did. We need to investigate. People are kind of coming to the conclusion that maybe you can't trust the Chinese Communist Party. Just maybe. Don't want to put a lot of money on it, but the whole Uyghur concentration camps and that sort of, maybe you can't trust them. That, you know, China hasn't reported a COVID death in nearly a year.
So where do you get your media information from? What do you sample?
Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire, National Review.
So you sample a lot.
I do. You know, one of the nice things is, like, my web browser brings up, like, the homepage or whatnot is, like, Microsoft News, and it grabs stuff from all over the place. So I, at the very least, see the headlines. I click on quite a bit of it.
I would read the Wall Street Journal, but I can't afford it. Too many paywalls out there. But
I think they need to come up with microtransactions.
I go to rtumble.com, which is an aggregate site for California news stories. But again, most of the stories are behind paywalls.
Right.
But you at least get the headline and you get a summary of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that to be quite helpful for following California news.
Cal Matters from time to time does a pretty good job. They've got Dan Walters, who's the old, you know, columnist for who's covered Sacramento for decades, writes a regular column for them. He's great. But, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's if you start reading about, you know, kind of how the sausage is made in newsrooms nowadays, it's scary.
As Matt Hoy puts together a final thought, we thank our guests today, Gary J. Chambers and Sam Cotton, everybody who called in during the 5 o'clock hour, and we appreciate Mr. Hoy coming down from Pastor Robles to join us, and he now gets 35 seconds for a final thought, sir.
Don't trust everything you read. Don't think the worst of other people. And, you know, try to get outside your bubble. That means talking with people you don't agree with respectfully. That means reading stuff from sites that you don't necessarily share their point of view. It's a good thing to have your views challenged and to be able to defend them. You know, be nice to each other.
That says it all. All right, Matt, thank you for your time. Thanks to Craig Hill for his help, as always, and thanks to you for listening. I'm Dave Congleton. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.